You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This year marks the program's 10th anniversary on WPR. And as part of the celebration, we're sharing some of our favorite stories from Wisconsin life. Here's producer Carl Christensen with a story about finding yourself in the summertime.
As a kid, knocking around the neighborhood with your friends can be a formative time, and the experiences from those years can resonate for decades. Matthew Lewis shares a story about finding his identity. He told it during an Ex-Fabula event, a live storytelling organization in Milwaukee.
So I was super happy that the theme tonight was identity, because it's also in the neighborhood that I grew up in. My parents live like two blocks that way. This neighborhood is like a huge part of my identity. So I thought about the times that when I was growing up and what I really loved was my block I grew up on. My block was just really special. Like, we regularly had like block parties. In the summer, I had my crew. So there was my house and my, I'm going to call her my sister because that's basically what she became. Sister's house was two doors down. Then I had another friend two doors down, another friend. So basically every other house was a friend of mine, and we would knock on each other's doors and come get each other during the summer every day. What was interesting, though, is that there was my brother's generation, which was like all boys on our block. So they would be in the back playing basketball and doing things they were not supposed to be doing. And then I would be in the front, and I was like weird because everyone had their children spotty by that point. So, like, my sister was, like, older than me, but, like, there was no one in her generation quite yet. So she was, like, stuck with us because we were the only other people she was allowed to play with. And then there was, like, my generation, but then I was the only boy, which I didn't think anything of because it was like, oh, like, we just all play together and eat grass. And so then came the summer where, like, my sister was kind of getting to the age where she was like, it's not really cool to, like, hang out with y'all anymore. Which I understood, you know. At that point, I think I was still trying to play, like, Powerpuff Girls, and she was like, I don't do that anymore. She had made this friend with this girl from across the alley. Now, there's a big difference in blocks. Like, there was my block, and there was 54th Street. No offense to anyone on 54th Street. Y'all just not as lit as 55th Street. But she... Once you cross that alley, it's just a different world, you know? And she would come across, and she was just mean, you know? And I was her target, and I remember, like, every time we hung out, she just always had to, like, dig at me. And usually it was around, like, why do you always hang out with all the girls? And I was like, because ain't nobody else around, that's why. Also, I was here first. And so I remember one day we were all walking, and she and my sister had gotten pretty cool, but, like, I had that, like, innate, like, little sibling jealousy of, like, you're taking the person who I've been used to, like, spending every day with away from me and doing so in a way that's pretty, like, shady to me. And so she asked me again while we were walking up the block. And she was like, why do you hang out with all the girls? And I was like, well, you know, I like it. And, you know, I just fit, you know, like, I'm not like a normal boy. And I remember her looking at me and she was like, you're gay? At this time, I'm like 7. So I was like, I don't know what that means, but your face says it's bad. So no. But I remember being really offended and quickly, like, swallowing everything I had just said so that, like, she would not blast this any louder than it had become as a moment between us. But it also, like, I remember, like, the rest of the day I just felt really apart from everybody. So I became really aware that I was, like, the only boy and that, like, things like playing Little Sally Walk with everyone was, like, not comfortable anymore. It wasn't fun. And so that summer I remember going in the house a lot, you know, when the doorbell came, I'd be like, no, I'm going to stay in. Those things that you kind of want to hide from. So it's like that difference that everyone keeps pointing out, like, doesn't keep being the thing that sets you apart from everybody. Needless to say, everyone saw what I saw in this girl about 2 months later, and she was no longer allowed in anyone's house or yard. But it was the thing that I kind of carried with me. I identified that first moment. I am, in fact, queer. But every time someone would, like, police that or kind of sense it in me, I remember quickly backing away. So there's never this feeling of me for being in the closet, but always being like, nope, don't claim that word, because once I claim that word, you can officially push me out. But that's my story, so thank you for listening.
Matthew Lewis's story comes to us from Ex-Fabula, a storytelling organization in Milwaukee. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Carl Christensen.
And now we meet the founders of a Madison-based organization promoting awareness, acceptance, and inclusion of children with special needs and their families, with a special focus on lifting up and supporting Latinos with disabilities. Has your child been diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder? Where have you sought care and support systems? It's 800-642-1234. Hector Portillo is founder and director of Padres y Hijos en Acción, or Parents and Children in Action. Hector, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Good morning. And Araceli Portillo, co-founder and a bilingual nutrition educator for UW Extension. Araceli, welcome to you.
Good morning. Thank you. And thank you for this opportunity, as my husband said.
Araceli, can you introduce us to Mario, to your son Mario, and acquaint us with his story over the years?
Well, Mario, our son, he is an autistic, not verbal child. He is 21 year old and has been living with us and always, right? Because usually after age, they move from home, and he's with us. He was diagnostic in age 2 back in El Paso, and then we moved to Wisconsin for better opportunities, and that's it. He's a tall guy. He's a 6'4". he's very tall.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else you want to know.
Yeah. What is
him.
His personality like? What do you love about his personality?
Mario, he's very stubborn. He's very, very stubborn. But he's so sweet and smart and silly. Mario is very, very silly. We're pretty sure that he can talk or communicate verbally. Oh my God, we will have a lot of jokes from him. And and he's so sweet. He's a mama boy. But also, he's very, very attached to my husband.
Yeah. Hector, you were a truck driver in El Paso, and after Mario was diagnosed with autism in 2002, you drove through 48 states looking for communities with the best care options. Why did you do that, and how did you come to Wisconsin?
Well, the doctor recommended three states, Florida, California, and Wisconsin. However, I want to take a look at another state, which one has the best opportunities for our son. So it was hard for me to start driving over the road because my daughter, Erica, born in July 2002. So it was very, very tough, the decision. And we did it. So we did it, and we land here in Wisconsin because we found it. This is the best place with better opportunities for our son at the time. Yes, still.
The Waisman Center in Madison has scientists who study every stage of human development, of course, autism spectrum disorder. What has your connection been like, Hector, with the center in Madison?
At the time, 2003, we don't have connection, but they welcome to us. Now we have very strong connection to the years, the service they provide to our son, and also the service they are providing to the Latino community. At this time, we are partnering with the Wyman Center and to gain a grant for Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, over $30,000, try to promote reform of some chains and how our Latino community is served in the health system.
Araceli, you know, even though you found more support in Wisconsin, you still faced barriers. What barriers do Latino parents face as you talk with, fellow parents and trying to get their children diagnosed?
Well, I think language is the first one. And then even though they have people to translate, we don't have all the what we need. We don't have what we need because the second barrier will be the culture. Culture is very important, and I think those are the two that we have barriers for our kids to be diagnostic. Also, you know, but I want to say that taboos, cultural.
Cultural taboos. Uh-huh.
Cultural taboos too. Usually in our country, when we have a kid with disabilities, we don't look for resources. We just want him to stay home, away from people. But here in Wisconsin, we have the opportunity to look for research. Like Padres e Hijos, we have those connections. And, well, Lecto can tell you a little bit more about that. But those are two of the barriers that we can face with families, for family, Latino families, for our kids to be diagnostic.
Yeah. Hector, how do you encourage families to seek out diagnosis and to seek out the resources that are out there for families?
Well, that was a very good question. Well, first, we try to educate the parents, inform what kind of resources, what the benefits to looking for the diagnosis in the early age, to avoid the mistake we did it. We're trying to provide the resources. There are over the Wisconsin area, Dane County especially, for the kiddos. The kid in Wisconsin and Dane, there's around 12 mm-hmm. organizations. They are licensed to make the diagnostic. But the most popular in our community is Wyman Center, the most trusted. Mm-hmm. It's Wyman Center, and that's when we refer our families.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Hector and Araceli Portillo. They founded Padres y Hijos en Acción, or Parents and Kids in Action, several years ago to help in their own journey having a child with autism. Have you found resources to help your family in the disability community? Have you participated in this group's events? What can you share? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with the Portillos here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Latino parents of children with disabilities often face barriers when interacting with the medical system, with the education system. We're learning how one Wisconsin nonprofit is providing support for Latinos with developmental disabilities. It's called Padres y Hijos en Acción, or Parents and Children in Action, and founded by Hector and Araceli Portillo in 2017. They're with us for about 10 more minutes. Araceli, I wonder if you encounter a lack of awareness about autism and understanding how that it affects each person differently. How do you help remove the stigma and the stereotypes associated with autism?
Well, first of all, is education. Education and then communication. And also, you know what, some of the families, when the kids are diagnostic, they don't want to go out. They are afraid to tell even their relatives about the diagnostic because they don't know what they're going to think about that kid. So we suggest them that it is our role as a parent with kids with disabilities to educate mm-hmm. the community, to educate our relatives, to start with them because we don't know the empathy they're going to show after they know
they're diagnosed. Oh, and Araceli, we're having a little bit difficulty hearing you. There we go. Yes. And I want to also ask you, Hector, you put on events through the nonprofit. What kind of events do you put on?
We put different events, mostly to fulfill our family's needs. One of those is biking.
Mm-hmm.
Biking and gardening at the same time.
I've seen the pictures. But, they look wonderful.
Yeah, and most of the time also we provide information about nutrition and education classes at the three times. When and others kind of events are art. we hire a contract with a local artist to teach our kiddos how to draw and in canvas. So there's another kind of events we do is bowling and jumping and trampolines, theme parks here when it's possible. But also we provide a lot of workshops to train the families regarding to how to navigate the educational system. And now we're focused in health system. While we provide this kind of workshops, we provide to our kids with activities, art, craft, and another kind of thing. Also, physical activities like soccer or basketball. It was this an example of the activities we provide to our families.
Yeah, Araceli, you know, sometimes families need a break from the caregiving. How do you approach respite care? We're having difficulty hearing you, Araceli. I'm not sure if there's something wrong with the phone. Can you try one more time?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you a little bit better. Go ahead.
It might as okay. It's just an answer the question. Because, I don't know what's going on with my phone. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, and Hector, you know, now that Mario is 21, what are you thinking about in terms of Mario's aging and becoming an adult living with autism? What are some of the new things that you think about for his life?
Well, we want him to be independent. He is very smart, but learn a very slow pace. We are trying to train him in what's best for him. So still looking in his skills. However, we are opening for more opportunities for him. We want to him independent living, but doesn't mean going to replace him in a house or an apartment. He will stay living with us, but we want him around the community, be part of the community. It's one of the plans we have for kids. You and I can answer that speed question.
Yeah. Araceli, what are some things that you're thinking about as Mario becomes an adult?
Well, it is difficult because we have to deal. I mean, he's autistic, but other than that, he is like a normal teenager with his needs, you know. So it is difficult for him because, as I mentioned before, sadly, the community is not educated. Mm-hmm. We don't find empathy sometimes. And it is difficult, especially because he's verbal. I mean, and also because autism, you can see it not actually physically. Mm-hmm. If you see Mario, you can see like he is kind of average. As soon as he started making those noises, and that's when you realize that something is wrong with him. So being outside and with some people, they look at him, and we still have that that issue, if we can call it like that, in the community. And that's why I was telling you before that we tell the families that it is our role as the families of parents and kids with disabilities to educate, to educate the family, our relatives and the community, not to hide our kids, but they have to understand that they're different, but they're part of the society. They're part of this community.
Not to hide our children. They're part of the community. We're learning about the work of Padres y Hijos en Acción. It's a group focusing on helping the Latino community navigate disabilities and resources out there, founded by Hector and Araceli Portillo. Araceli, a bilingual nutrition educator as well for UW Extension. Let's bring in Amy in Madison. Hi, Amy. Go ahead. Amy, are you there? I think we've lost Amy. I want to go to Hector. Your organization recently received a $330,000 grant from the UW Weissman Center as part of a 3-year campaign project. How will you use the money?
Well, you use to promote empowering families, parents, how to express how the system is working with them, what was good, what was wrong, and what kind of suggestion or recommendation they have. The goal is create groups to empower the families and with the organization who are providing service to our families to create ways to close the gap in the service, trying to inclusion and equity in our service. This is our goal in 3 years. Create and find out and collect data direct for our families and also with the providers and sit together, negotiate for more negotiation. Mm-hmm. And co-create change or reforms to improve the quality of life or of other families and improving the health service.
Yeah. Amy, I'm going to go back to you. Amy and Madison, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm listening to this wonderful story and just wanted to honor and thank Araceli and Hector. You know, not only does raising a child with autism come with its own challenges, but for you to truly take action and provide a space for Spanish-speaking families as well as, you know, Latinx families in Wisconsin. We're so fortunate that you chose this state out of all the ones you traveled to. And, you know, Gandhi would be proud. You are being the change you wish to see in this world. So thank you so much for your work.
Oh, Amy, thank you for that. Hector and Araceli Portillo, thank you so much. Founded Padres y Hijos en Acción in 2017. We have a link to their nonprofit at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.